The Lord be with you. The scriptures today tell us stories of two people. One, the most famous king in history, David, and the other, an unnamed boy. The scripture tells us that in the time when kings go out to war, King David stayed home and sent his army on without him. The scripture also tells us that David stayed in bed until late in the afternoon and only then got up. And the scripture doesn't tell us why. The scripture doesn't tell us why this war hero who had led every charge into battle would suddenly stay home. The scripture doesn't tell us why this king who had been so devoted to his duty would suddenly shirk his responsibilities. The scripture doesn't tell us why, but perhaps based on what we know, we can imagine David saying to himself, I have worked so hard for so long. I have given so much to so many people. I deserve a little something for myself, a little me time. I deserve a few days vacation. It's a little thing, what does it matter? The scriptures tell us of King David, but the scriptures today also tell us of an unnamed boy who, when the crowds of 5,000 people began to follow Jesus, and Jesus' disciples said, there's so many of them, send them away so that they can find food for themselves. It's getting too late and we are too tired. This unnamed boy said, but I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Isn't that something? The scripture tells us of King David, how after he got up late in the afternoon, he went to his rooftop. And the scripture tells us that there, from the vantage point of his roof, he saw a beautiful woman named Bathsheba. Bathsheba was bathing to cleanse herself after her menstruation in accordance with Jewish law. And the scripture tells us that even though David was already married, he sent some folks to go find out a little bit more about this beautiful woman that he saw. And the scripture tells us that David found out that this woman was Bathsheba, that she was the daughter of one of King David's great warriors, Eliam, and that she was the wife of another of King David's great warriors, Uriah the Hittite, both of whom David had just sent off to war without him. And the scripture tells us that David, knowing that this woman would have no power to refuse him, and knowing that David was honor-bound to protect this woman who was the wife and daughter of his greatest warriors, nonetheless, David sent messengers to get her, and then David slept with Bathsheba. But the scriptures don't tell us why. The scriptures don't tell us why David would ignore his own marriage vows, why David would break the trust of the men he had sent to war, why David would violate the laws of God and humanity to rape Bathsheba. The scripture doesn't tell us why. But perhaps based on what we know, we can imagine David saying to himself, I have given so much to my wives. I have given so much to my soldiers. Everything they have, I have given to them. I gave them their jobs and their wealth and their homes. I have given so much to all of them. I deserve a little something for myself. I deserve a little pleasure, a night with a beautiful woman. It is a little thing. It won't matter. Yes, the scripture tells us of King David. But the scripture today also tells us of an unnamed boy who, when the disciples said to Jesus, 6 months' wages could not buy enough bread for each person to get a little, that unnamed boy said, well, I've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Isn't that something? The scriptures today tell us of King David. They tell us that Bathsheba went and announced to him that she had become pregnant because of what David had done. And then the scriptures tell us that David brings home her husband, Uriah the Hittite, from the front lines in hopes that he will sleep with his wife in time that David could cover his tracks and claim that the baby is Uriah's. But the scriptures tell us that this foreign soldier, Uriah the Hittite, is a more honorable man than the king of Israel, because while King David has stayed home from war and indulged himself, when Uriah is called to return home, he refuses to sleep in his own home or sleep with his own wife while his comrades in arms are roughing it out on the battlefield. And so the scriptures tell us that King David tries to get Uriah drunk so that maybe he'll get a little more loose with his morals. But the scriptures tell us that even inebriated, Uriah has more respect for the sacrifice of others, more respect for the solidarity of those who are risking their lives than King David does while sober. And so the scriptures tell us that King David tells Uriah to deliver a letter to his general. And in the letter, King David says to the general to send Uriah to the front lines of battle, and when the battle is fully engaged, to pull back all support from Uriah and leave him there so that the enemy massacres Uriah, and David's hands will be clean. And the scriptures tell us that Uriah carries in his hand his death sentence to his general. But Uriah is so faithful to his unfaithful king that Uriah never looks and reads the letter himself. The scripture doesn't tell us why. The scripture doesn't tell us why King David doesn't just confess his sin, why he doesn't admit to have raping Bathsheba, doesn't tell us why he is willing to kill a loyal soldier, why he's willing to put his army at risk, why he is willing to violate the laws of God and humanity to cover his crime. But perhaps based on what we know, we can imagine David saying to himself, if this scandal gets out, it will bring down not just me, it will bring down my whole kingdom. And this kingdom does so much good for so many people. This kingdom has united the feuding tribes. This kingdom has defeated our enemies. It is the peace and prosperity and protection that this kingdom provides that has saved so many lives from war and starvation. Surely, so many lives are worth one. We can imagine King David saying to himself, this kingdom does so much good for so many, it doesn't deserve to be taken down by my little indiscretion. What is the good of so many lives compared to the sacrifice of one? It is a little thing. It won't matter. But the scripture today also tells us of an unnamed boy who says to Jesus' disciples, I have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And when Jesus' disciples say, what is that among so many? The little boy still insists that his offering of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, though it be little, be placed in Jesus' hands. And I can't help but wonder if across 1,000 years of time, this unnamed boy and this most famous king could have a conversation, what they would say to each other. Maybe that unnamed boy would say to the king, what happened, David? Remember when you were young? Remember when a little thing was all that mattered to you? Remember when you faced the giant Goliath with nothing but a little sling? Remember when you calmed the madness of King Saul with nothing but a little song? Remember when all your older and bigger brothers were passed over by the prophet Samuel, and you alone were anointed to be future king of Israel, even though you were the littlest shepherd boy. What happened, David? What changed? And perhaps David, being the self-reflective songwriter that he was, maybe David would answer the boy saying, "What changed? Now I alone am responsible for my army's victories. Now I alone am responsible for making sure my soldiers get paid. Now I alone am responsible for keeping this kingdom intact. And I find that no matter how much I do, there is more that needs to be done. No matter how much I give, it is never enough." But then, David would say, "Then when I was young, then it wasn't my little sling that was enough to. It was God. Then it wasn't my little song that was enough to calm the madness of a king. It was God. Then it wasn't I that was enough as a little shepherd boy to be the ruler of Israel. It was God." And then perhaps David would remember what he had once known, what the disciples have yet to learn, what David knew as a boy, and what this unnamed boy still knows. That when we believe we have to do everything to save the world, even our personal world, nothing is enough. And so we feel justified in taking anything. Which is why so many good people in helping professions, be they pastors or presidents, coaches or counselors, find themselves falling into temptation with embezzlement or substance abuse or sexual abuse, because they have come to believe that all the good that is done in the world depends upon them, and they find that no matter how much they do, it is not enough, and no matter how much they give, it is not enough. And so in the face of so much need, what does it matter if they take one little thing so that they can keep going and keep giving? But when we believe that it is Jesus who does everything to save the world, when we believe that it is Jesus who does everything to save even our world, well then, anything is enough. And suddenly we are free to give away everything that we have, because it is not what we have that will accomplish what is needed in the world. It is God. And so if you find yourself like King David, feeling like no matter how much you do or how much you give, it is not enough, and you begin looking for that little thing that you can take to keep yourself going as you are going, then may you, like the disciples, find this unnamed boy, this child within who says, "You have enough. You have 5 loaves and 2 fish, not enough for you to do everything, but enough for Jesus to do everything." May you place your 5 loaves and your 2 fish in the hands of Jesus and know what it means to be satisfied. Amen.